As a young man, I remember in my teens, for the first time, getting this in my head that my future was not in God's hands as a believer. It was in my hands, in relationship with God. I'd heard different speakers talk about things like, you know, you just go through life and you hope for the best. And much of the preaching that I hear when I travel in many of the conferences around the world has lowered the bar of the Christian life so that we can learn to sense his presence, to bring peace through your hell, comfort through your pain, to bring just a peace when nothing is working out. But it just stops there. We know God does that. But did you know that his word goes way beyond that? And it says you can speak to problems and they've got to obey you. It says there that you can declare your future and the boundaries of your life. It says there that the words that are spoken from your mouth when connected to your heart can actually bring about healing in your physical body, can actually cause things on this planet to begin to move in your direction. The word is so great about this topic of faith. And when I heard the first time I really began to pay attention, because I'd probably heard it multiple times, but all of a sudden something in my life made me pay attention to faith. So I can believe. Well, what does that mean? Well, what do you mean I can declare my future? Well, I thought it was fixed. Isn't God, if I'm a Christian, then God's in control and he's got the whole world in his hands. And then I found out there's no verse in the Bible that says that. We know that God is in control of the overall time frame of the earth, that Satan's time's going to be up and he's going to go. We know that we win, that on this planet, that there's all these time frames, God's in control of the overall time frame. But in my personal life, he wasn't controlling me. I could lie, cheat, swear, cuss, punch, or love, hug, hold, touch, and encourage. My choice. That all my choices had consequences. But to really begin to explain to people that we can live a life that is beyond anything we can imagine is to make people begin to recognize that although you aren't responsible for much of the pain and the heartache in your life, because we don't know who raised you where and what people have done to you as a child and a baby and a kid, etc. But you're the only one who can take responsibility from where you are now and decide where you're going to go in life. So God has placed your future in your hands. You are powerful. You're amazing. You are potent. And the enemy is scared, ridiculously scared about one thing about believers. He doesn't want you to learn to use your faith. Because if you use your faith, you'll speak to mountains. If you use your faith, you'll believe ahead of time and things will happen. If you use your faith, you can touch nations. You can touch entire kingdoms for the presence of God. Just read Hebrews 11 and all the men and women of the Old Testament who did stunning things with their lives. And today, people are a little bit confused just trying to believe away a headache. They're still arguing about faith. Well, I don't know if I believe that, Pastor. Why is that, sir? Well, tried that. Doesn't work for me. So I just don't believe it. You know, you get to believe whatever you want. That's why, you know, so many people will try to engage me after conferences or services. And if they have an open heart question, I'll try within just 30 seconds to steer them in the right direction. If someone's trying to correct me or tell me off, I just say, hey, dude, listen, you believe whatever you want, not a problem. They're shocked that I would say that because I don't argue with people. You know, basically, I love you, but dude, don't care. You can go believe whatever you want. And everything you believe is what begins to determine the boundaries of your life. So if you don't want to believe God's word, I'm not here to force you. I'm not going to put you in a headlock and give you one of those rubbies on your head and go, you better believe. I just put it to practice in my life. And as a teenager, I discovered my words were so powerful that even if I didn't believe they were. And that my continual talking was determining my future. And that although it maybe wasn't the cause of things, I was omitting a stunning, phenomenal ability that is given to all believers. And it's called faith. Faith is not positive thinking, although I love positive people. Faith is a heart thing. I'm going to cut through a whole bunch of teaching and just give you some principles that I pray that you will lock into and study on your own. But according to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, there every person who gives their life to Christ is given something very special. They are given something called a unit of faith. And this measure of faith that is given to them is the God kind of faith. We use the word faith very casually today and, you know, hey, I got faith in that truck. It'll go somewhere. I got faith in that coach. He'll see us through. And I understand it in a secular way, yes. But that is nothing that the Bible is talking about. It's just words that we have reused in a different way. New Age has learned that you can be positive and your business will go further. If you're positive, your body will get healthier. If you're positive, people will be attracted to you. There's a lot of positive New Age teaching, which I actually like. I love all. Be positive, be happy, make a choice. But that has nothing to do with Bible faith. And a faith that is delivered to born-again believers. You've been given a measure of God's faith. Now, what you do with that measure is up to you. You can laugh about it and say, I don't know if I believe that stuff. You can just be lazy, never study it, never get into it. Oh, disobey all of the written rules. Did you know the Bible teaches that there is the law of works and there's the law of faith? All through the New Testament. In other words, there are principles of the law that just never worked. And so Jesus came and died so we could live this life of faith. It's like the song the girls, the whole band just sang, that, you know, what did I do to deserve a love like this? Nah, nothing. Yeah, you just ain't, nothing. But you are so loved. And when you begin to understand, I know people take every message that's preached to an extreme. If you preach grace, someone will take it to an extreme. Teach faith, someone will take it to an extreme. But why do we throw out a teaching? Because someone else has misused it. So today, I want to say some things, and I pray that something is going to galvanize in your heart, that you're going to wake up and recognize, what have you done with this measure of faith? Jesus teaches in Mark 4 that God's word is seed and that it must be sown in your heart and that it will rise up and that you must speak his word. You know, there's two areas of prayer that people seem to misunderstand. Like, I know there are 9 different kinds of prayer. I did an entire teaching on the prayer toolbox showing you 9 different kinds of prayer I found in the word and when to use them. But then when you look at prayer, if you are just chatting with God, I don't need to move my mouth. I can talk to him from my heart. So can you. You know that. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. I can sit in there and commune with God in the early morning or in my car, just with my mouth closed. God and I talk and I'll get ideas and things I'm thinking about. But if I ever want to pray to get things done, it must move out of my mind into spoken words, because only spoken words have an effect on the worlds that are around us. The mental world, the spiritual world, the physical world. That it is the spoken word of God that affects it. Which is why when we talk about prayer, it'll talk about declaring it, supplicating it. It'll talk about speaking it. Because to pray with your mouth closed and say, well, God knows what I'm saying. Well, you don't understand. It is the spoken word of God coming out of your mouth that causes all the forces of hell to back off, because they have to obey the spoken word of God. It attracts the angelic host, according to Psalms 103, because they listen for God's word to be spoken. Your spoken words are crucial. They are powerful, and they begin within you a faith life. This faith begins to rise up. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh. He's talking to Christians. Well, if faith is coming, then could you be letting faith go? If faith needs to come on the scene in your own heart, can you be lazy and just let it go? Yes, You can, I know, done that, been there, got the t-shirt. So many times in my life, I just, for some reason, just slide off of operating in this God kind of faith like Mark 11, 21, 22 talks about. In 1 John 5, 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. If you're born again, then you have been designed to win, to succeed, to rise above. And the word overcome doesn't mean a constant battle of, oh, it's such a fight. No, it means overcome. It means take it on and take it down, and you're the head and not the tail. Overcome. What is it that puts us over in this life? It says, even our faith, your faith, your faith. I believe. When I begin to recognize that I had a choice, I can live my life on believing and know what faith is, or I can live my life in this passive, we're going to wait and see what God does, and then fear would just take over my life. Fear is running this planet. I've never seen fear in my life, and I've been around a few decades. I've never seen fear like it is today. I remember growing up in the towns. I remember being in my dad's church. I remember as a young pastor in my 20s and going, but today I have never seen fear take on countries, take on entire families where we speak it, we believe it, we're stressed, we talk spread. It is all fear-based. If you're grumpy, it's fear-based. If you don't smile and laugh, it's fear-based. If you don't have a joy that just flows out of you, it is only fear is the alternative. And that fear, who knows what that fear is? Some people don't even know what the fear is. It's just a spirit of fear that makes them negative about everything going on in their life. And that fear, you study some of the great psychologists, and I have. I've read my way through whole different thinkings and all kinds of psychology just to see what have they discovered. And it's so lean. Now, they can pigeonhole things, but some of their greatest thinkers have said, we have discovered that what people believe, what their attitude is what their future begins to unfold. We have seen those who believe that life is nothing and I can't do anything, and they're filled with fear. It just seems to attract things in their life. And we believe that we see people who are positive. It generally begins to attract whatever's going on the inside. And this is before we even get to Bible faith. In Hosea 4, 6, it says, my people. This is Hosea, the prophet Hosea, under the inspiration of God, saying, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. At our church, we can preach a few little happy ditties, make you feel good about yourself while you lose, fail, depressed, unhappy, and just, you know, because we don't want you to feel any pressure to change. No, we love you the way you are, but God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. His promise is a life that's phenomenal. Jesus said in John 10:10, I'm come that you could have life more abundantly, which in the Greek means superior in quality. Do you have a life that is superior to the whole planet in quality? Do you have a life that is as innumerable in quantity? You start talking about friends and finances and the blessings of God. Innumerable. You can't count the blessing of the Lord. We all use the word blessed. What does blessed mean? Happy, fortunate, and to be envied. That's what blessed means. And so we must make a decision. Do you want the knowledge of how to walk out a faith life? Or are you going to listen to all the negative people out there? You know, Job, the book of Job, I haven't got time to go through it for you. It's an easy book to understand. Everyone's messed it up. Job had a lot of hell come into his life because he had so much fear, tons of fear. Job 3:25 says, what I fear befalls me. What I dread comes into my life. This man was deep sunk into fear and dread, and it just started happening all around him. Then at some point, as you read through the book of Job, he's communicating with God. God's talking, Job's talking, God's talking, and all of a sudden Job begins to realize he needs to have this fear of the Lord. What am I worried about an enemy when I got God? People no longer today have this fear, this incredible awe of God. They're in awe of depression. They're in awe of cancer. They're in awe of any disease a doctor can put a name on. And you know what? When doctors put a name on something, it doesn't mean they understand it. I was praying for a lady the other day, and I said, what is it that you've got? She says, cyclosatudatatada. They know all these prefixes and suffixes. It's this long. I said, I've never even heard of that. Oh, she goes, that means that you are having this symptom because of chemotherapy, but it also means that they don't know what it is. See, just because they can name it doesn't mean they can cure it. So what are we going to do? Are we going to just kind of give into this? Or are we going to recognize that there is a life, that even the cells of your body, proven by medical science, are influenced by what you believe, whether you're in peace, whether you're in fear, whether you have an expectation of good, or whether you're expecting that, that even the cells of your body are listening to you, proven. I don't want to die for lack of knowledge. So then why doesn't God do something, Leon? He did do something. He sent Jesus to the cross, and he died for you and I, that whosoever. Now, listen close to this thought. And in the Old Testament, people had faith when God spoke to them and gave them direction. He might give them a vision. He might give them a word, like Moses, like, you know, Samson. Like these men, they had visions, they had dreams, and God spoke to them specifically. And they got up and spent a lifetime like Abraham, obeying and having faith in the words that God spoke to them. Then in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have Jesus physically walking the planet. And anything Jesus says and anything, everyone's put their faith in the historical, the physical Jesus. And they could get to Jesus. He was one man standing there with the presence of God all over him. But then he said, I've got to go so Holy Spirit can come because he's omnipresent. In Luke, it says Jesus was sitting in a room one time, and it says the presence of the Lord was present to heal. People take that to all sorts of doctrines. No, the reason that God's presence to heal was present was because Jesus was present. Wherever Jesus was the presence of God there to heal. Anybody? Yeah. When Holy Spirit comes, he's everywhere. Anywhere you go, you can tap in to the presence of God to assist you and help you with anything from relationships to protection to health to finances to whatever you put your hand to. And so we have direct. So I remember one time complaining to God and I said, God, you know what? If you'd appear to me like you appeared to Moses, man, would it change my life. If you could just speak to me in a dream or a vision like you did to Joseph and told him where to go and what to, oh man, I would love that. I would just have faith in you. And then God began to speak to me, and he said, Jesus, my son died for you. And he said, you have been given everything. He said, and I'm going, and then I read, the Bible says, whosoever. When Jesus died, it stopped being this special little, only he talks to kings in the Old Testament, only to priests in the Old Testament, only to high priests. Oh no, his word is now to whosoever. He died for everybody's sins. He died for everybody's health, blessing, and protection. It's just that now you have to believe his word that comes through Jesus. That's why the Bible is so special. That's why the Bible is so stunning, so phenomenal, because it shows us how to begin to rise up and begin to walk in this thing called faith. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, reading from the Amplified Bible, Jesus talking, he says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now, people think he means how to get to heaven. He did do that, but listen to what it says next. And whatever you bind or declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. The word declare means to speak. I find very few people who declare over their lives, who speak over their lives in their prayer time. Most prayers begging, bugging, pleading, rather than declaring, taking the promise and saying who they are and what's been prepared for them and what their life is going to be like. He's literally saying here that you've got a life ahead of you. Now you might not have been able to do anything about the stuff that's happened to you. All of us were children. All of us had stuff. We live in a crazy world where there's a kingdom of darkness and bad stuff happens. But in the middle of that, if you decide to begin to use this thing called faith that has been given to you when you got saved and you begin to figure out what it means, you can live a life where faith becomes something that you'll believe in. And it will remove you from the fear, the anxiety, the depression, the double-mindedness, the can't make up my mind, I'm just not sure. All of this, when I begin to practice this as a teenage boy, and I begin to just do the things that I'm not going to get to, but as I begin to do them, I found my mind getting decisive. I just found that I would look at situations, I just know what to do. I'd find that when others were given into stuff, I'd just keep my mouth closed in front of them, but in my prayer time, I would declare where my life was going and what I was gonna do and how things were gonna go in my world. And I found that when I spoke these words, something stirred up on the inside of me. It's like it wasn't my, you see, faith doesn't come out of the mind. In fact, the carnal mind is at war with faith. Did you know that? Romans chapter 8, the carnal mind is at war. You will never figure out faith with your head. This world is looking for sages to say unique things. They'll listen and I've read some of these books from some of these guys who have written who are considered by some of the most, you know, all this new age of, this man is brilliant. And then I'll read through his sentence structure and go, that doesn't make sense, that doesn't make sense. The guy's saying nothing, but ooh, it's deep. And they think it's deep because they don't understand it. The deepest man that ever walked the planet, the most brilliant mind that ever used words was Jesus. And he took the incredibly complex deep and he brought it up to wheat seed and fields, to sheep, goats, pearls. He brought it up to the simplicity. God's word is incredibly deep, but it is simple. And do not think for a minute that simple means that it's not brilliant wisdom. Oh, it's brilliant wisdom. And the world hasn't looked at the Bible because the Christians have never made it work in most cases. They just spouted at people. They're not interested in your doctrine. They're interested in your life. How did it work for you? Well, it saved my marriage. Really? What do you mean? How did it work for you? When I had no way to get this business to where I wanted it to go, I began to take this faith that God gave me and declare it. And things I could never do begin to open up. I'm running into somebody on holidays in a lineup in Starbucks that opened up our business to a whole nother area. Sitting there one day, and all of a sudden God gave me an idea. I didn't know where it came from. And just your life begins to have this incredible growth because faith is the substance, Hebrews 11, 1 says, of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Someone has said to me years ago, I remember when Sal and I first came to Springs of Living Water Center, this religious, weird church. And we had a funeral for it. That's how I put it. Laid it to rest. Now we call it Springs Church. And I got the people that were left there, a couple hundred or more, and I began to teach them the word of God, teach them about faith, who they are in Christ. People just started leaving. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Everybody's a blessing, someone may come. And so then I began to just teach the word. And then people began to get saved every Sunday. 1994, July 17th, the very first Sunday I spoke here, people gave their lives to Christ in that service and the whole church was shocked. And every Sunday since, somewhere in our church, people are giving their lives to Christ. It has never stopped. From the kids to the teens to the church services, and then we're not even counting the, I have no idea, millions that watch us on television in multiple languages. No idea until we get to heaven. I'm gonna begin to believe. Where are we gonna go as a church as we're gonna touch this nation? Oh. Oh, really? Yeah. When we picked up a little TV camera and we spent a lot of money and we were on local cable, they said, well, why are we doing this? I said, I want to get across Canada on television. In fact, I want to get around the world on television. Good for you. It's good to have a dream, Pastor. They told me that 25 years ago. Today, I'm not around the world. I'm around the world in multiple languages. When they said, well, don't touch the... Yeah, Jesus... Someone said, well, why are you picking up this dead, bankrupt television station that is so religious? I mean, they're even teaching dream interpretation on there. And I said, I don't know. I think I just want to get this thing going and get it. It's on the way down. It's not going to work. The staff told me that. What do you do when you take over an organization and the staff tell you there's no hope? But I had a dream. But you see, it wasn't about just this this worldly teaching about a dream. I had learned to use faith, and I'd learned to listen to the God, my God, that in my spirit, the belly of man is the candle of the Lord. It says this, searching all the inward parts of the belly. I could just say, I said, nope, I believe I can see this. And it wasn't because I was brilliant or smart or better than anybody else. I have nothing over anybody here. There are people in our church who have literally taken all the courses they've gone through, seminary. There's others who can public speak better, tell stories better. There's others who manage better, administrate better. Oh, there's tons of people better than me. But I'll tell you one thing that I really believe has helped me the most. I hang on to the faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. One guy got up in a Q&A session that I was doing. He said, you know, I preach all your messages and I do exactly what you say and ain't nothing happening at my church. I said, oh, I said, well, see, I've never said that these things are what grow the church. I've just said these are the things that handle the growth of the church. I said, it's Jesus that adds to his church daily. And so I believe him and I teach the word from that perspective. You see, what do you believe? Most people don't know. You must speak what you believe. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe my sins have been washed away. I believe that new life came within me. I believe his plan for my life is beyond anything I could mastermind on my own. I believe that when I don't have courage and I begin to get afraid, that his courage rises up within me. I believe that, that his word says I'm going to be the head and not the tail. I believe that my children are going to be taught of the Lord. I believe that he's never going to leave me or forsake me. I believe that in the darkest storm, I'll see a candle glow. I believe that in the worst stuff, that he'll always guide me and direct me. I believe that in the bottom of the barrel, when I don't know where to go, he's always going to lead me up. I believe, I believe, I believe. Where do I get this belief from? I am no different than you, and there's no way that I'm perfect, as I've failed a lot of times too. I just choose that if I'm going to believe something, it may as well be the word, because nothing else on the planet makes sense. What are you going to do? I begin to take a hold of God's word as never before and just make a decision. Either this stuff works or what in the world am I doing? Wasting my time going to church, listening to a whole bunch of drivel from a pulpit from a guy that can't even get it to work himself. You better make a decision as to why you're here at church, because your kids are watching you. And I'm tired of watching 85% of all the families in church lose their kids. What do? We get up and we show them what faith does, that God cares, that he is on my heart, that God is with us, that he's never going to forsake us. And all it takes is for you to speak his word, glorify God, declare, speak to your mountain or your problems, declare who you are and what he's done for you and what you're going to do on this planet. In the Old Testament, with a lesser covenant, those people changed nations. And when you look at the apostles, they went in and changed cities. Today, we have a problem just changing ourselves. So as we preach and teach God's word here, I've got a challenge for you. 2020, if you want to do things, if you want to go to places that you've never been able to go before, it's already been destined. It's already been taken care of. Will you begin to learn how faith comes? Will you begin to recognize that you have been given the God kind of faith, not the human faith, and they can make it work and do some pretty cool stuff, but the God kind of faith. That no problem can stand before you, that anything you need to overcome, that anything you desire to do and go with in your life, that he literally has said, in when Jesus was teaching him how to pray, he said, "Thy pray this way," and one line says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in Croatia. Oh no. Thy will be done on earth as it was in the Old Testament. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Which is why he says, declare what's in heaven is what's in your life. Declare what is forbidden in your life is what is forbidden in heaven. There's no short life in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. There's nothing like that in heaven. All the promises. And wherever you are, you could say, well, my situation, Leon, you don't understand. No, I'm sorry. I'm not even going to try to feel. I just want you to move out of feelings, which are of the mind, and begin to declare the Word of God. For 25 years, I've seen him restore wounded bodies, turn around sick bodies, do miraculous healings in relationships. I've seen him take bankrupt, suicidal men who happen to wander into our church, give their life to Jesus Christ, and find out who they are and what they can do and become millionaires. Tons of them over the years. Not that millionaires are the goal, but in other words, they begin to succeed in what they put their hands to, begin to give into the kingdom of God, begin to believe God for where they can go. Don't let the enemy shut you down. He is afraid of your faith. You getting it to work, you figuring it out, you beginning to practice it, you beginning to recognize that I have been created to walk on this planet in the paths that God's created ahead of time, Ephesians 2:10. Have you ever looked at faith? Have you ever explored faith for yourself? Or, yeah, I heard a few wacko guys talk about it, so I'm not going there, and I heard someone else. No, for yourself. I believe that people need to think for themselves, especially when you get around gossips. When someone talks about one of my friends, I just say, stop. No, don't want to talk about it. Change subject. I'm going to think for myself. I'll make my own decision on that person. Thank you. Well, I just want to help. I don't need your help. Spirit of God talks to me right here. He guides everybody. And the same is true for your life. You have to make a decision. What's my life going to be like? Well, you know, my dad said, good for your dad. Happy for him. How to work for him. Well, you know, my Uncle Charlie said, well, good for your Uncle Charlie. How to work for him. Well, you know, they say on TV, all those are just paid suits. Just regurgitate something that somebody has investigated. Usually it's 23-year-olds on a laptop somewhere in the studio. But oh, we give them all of our belief. No. I worked for 7 years in a hospital. I thank God for them, but my faith is not in modern medicine. It's getting worse. I've watched and had to work through banks to buy buildings and lands and TV stations, get around the world. I've had to work for millions of dollars. I've seen the banking system. I'm so glad faith works better. I have no problem using them, and we do. See, I have no faith in this world. It's just, you know, I use it and God teaches us how to work with it, but my faith is in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And until you make a decision, this is who I serve, and he has given me his faith. And if he can speak the universe into creation, if Jesus could speak to winds, waves, and dead bodies, then I can speak to my life, my marriage, my family, my kids, my future. I can speak to the cellular makeup of my body. I can declare my immune system is strong and healthy. I can declare, you know, that every cell in your body is renewed every 7 to 11 years. Things like your colon every few days. There's not a cell in your body that was there when you were born. So good luck for them telling us that if you're born with these conditions, they can never go. Well, why would your body keep reproducing cells with that problem? God's designed it that when you speak the word of God, bodies change, organs change, things change. Ah, I'm so over time. I just wanted in this message today to inspire you to check out faith, really check out faith, get into the word and begin to study it, listen to it, read people who don't just, well, you know, I think he's a pretty good, no. Is he used it and has he made it work? That's what we need to look for. And let's learn to get up and say, I'm gonna take my life. I only got one. You know, when you get to be my age, you start realizing, man, time went by quick. So I'm going to keep believing him to do exceptional, amazing, wonderful, beautiful, incredible things with my life. If I don't, who will? If you don't for you, who will? If you don't start declaring where you're going, what the parameters of your life are, and what God's going to do, and who you are, and what Jesus has done, and confirm your identity, and what your future's going to be like, who's going to? Well, I was just waiting and seeing. That means that the Bible says the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, is the devil. Why would I want his fear system, his worry system? Why would I want his sickness system, his poverty system, all the things that aren't, why would I want his system in my life? No. I'm going to get up and declare the word of God. Pray the word. Pray the promises out loud. And as you do, you're going to discover that there is something on the inside of a born-again believer that causes things to move aside. And every person that learned to use it, read the Bible, changed cities, changed countries, touched the world. Because, and Hebrews 11 will go on and list it for tons of verses, because they were people of faith. Father, I pray right now that you touch every person here. I pray that you would cause them to stop looking at church like just some way to keep myself being good. And Father, move from just behavior to the incredible ability that you've placed within us to determine our lives, our futures, our generations, our finances, our relationships, our physical bodies, our minds, our feelings. All can come under the control of words of faith that are spoken. I pray that you just touch each heart, stir them up. And Father, if there's someone who's given up, or who's just kind of wah-wah, just living out whatever they think was your will, they'd recognize it's not, but that we must fight the good fight of faith. I pray you'd touch them in the mighty name of Jesus.